Also, oh, right, when I said getting to know the Court of Criminal Appeals, don't forget we have a YouTube channel now where oral arguments are archived, but also the appellate section of the State Bar, co-sponsor of this event, hosted a night with the Court of Criminal Appeals. And it's sort of a Zoom conversation with, I think all of the judges were there. Maybe one didn't make it. But that's still hanging out on YouTube. You can go watch that if you want to get acquainted with the judges when they're not asking questions or not presenting CLE topics. That's out there if you want to get a better sense of their personalities. All right, let's move on to habeas corpus. What is it? It goes back, you know, 800 years or whatever to England, and it's really at the bottom of it all, it's a legal tool when you're challenging a restraint, when you're challenging the jailer or whoever's holding you, their authority to hold you. If you're from the state, chances are that you're defending that restraint. And so from that concept, we have all kinds of writs, all kinds of habeas corpus applications in our state criminal procedure. That can be used, as I said, to test the confinement. You can challenge bail. You can use it pretrial if you want to raise a facial constitutional challenge. If your advocacy goes over the line in the view of the judge and you're held in contempt of court, that's another thing in your toolbox. I always went to court. I wasn't too much of a hellraiser, but I did take my habeas corpus application with me every time I stepped into a trial court. What we're here to talk about today, or in this 45 minutes, is its application as a tool to use to challenge post-conviction, from a post-conviction framework. It's a post-conviction collateral attack on a judgment or on a conviction. And so the Code of Criminal Procedure divvies this up into specific sections and provides specific procedures to follow for different situations. Our situation, felony convictions, is 1107. Article 1107 sets up a bifurcated system that's almost unique in the Texas criminal law, where the writs are filed and mostly litigated in the trial court in the county of conviction. The trial court makes findings. This is how it happened as I see it. And then the Court of Criminal Appeals makes the ultimate decision. It is indeed the ultimate fact finder. So whether you're an applicant or a respondent or a prosecutor responding to one of these things, the things that you always have to keep in mind is that this is the exclusive way to attack a final non-death penalty felony conviction. These three aspects are important, and they get people into trouble every week almost. Exclusive means you can't challenge a felony conviction through any other extraordinary writ. Sometimes judges do this. They're trying to get something done quickly, but they lack authority to do that, and anything that purports to do it is done without authority. It's exclusive insofar as it's automatically returnable to the Court of Criminal Appeals upon filing. So once it's filed, even though it may be out in the panhandle, it belongs to the Court of Criminal Appeals. The conviction must be a final conviction. If there is an appeal on the case, mandate must have issued. If mandate hasn't issued, even if it's going to issue tomorrow, if the writ is filed today, it's not a final conviction. There's no jurisdiction, and no matter what is done at the county, the writ will be dismissed eventually because upon filing, there was no jurisdiction. It has to be a final felony conviction. What does that mean? A death sentence case goes somewhere else. Probated felonies and misdemeanors are done through Article 1107-2. If you're under indictment and pretrial, it's some other way. So let's talk about restraint. It also, you have to satisfy those things. It must be a final felony conviction, but the person also has to be restrained. So if I caught a conviction in 1992, when I was graduating from high school and I got probation and that's discharged, or sorry, if I actually did time and I've discharged that time and I'm trying to attack it now because it's keeping me from having a gun or voting or whatever, I have to show that I'm restrained. I can still file a writ, but I have to allege in that writ that I'm restrained by the conviction somehow. This is defined in the Code of Criminal Procedure. Confinement means confinement for any offense or any collateral consequences resulting from the conviction. By the way, I was not convicted, nor was I even arrested in 1992. So no need to dig around in that. But if you've got a case where it's obvious that the conviction has discharged, it's something that has to be pled. If it's not pled, if it's not alleged, I'm restrained in some manner, then the case will very likely be dismissed. Ex parte Harrington, I believe Judge Cochran wrote this in 2010, is really the leading case on restraint, collateral confinement, and the definition of confinement.